It's with absolute amazement that I've been reflecting on this past year. I really can't believe it was a year ago that I responded to Papa's suggestion of leaving the full-time employment that I was in and, to be made more available for people and his ministry appointments. It was an invitation to walk with him by faith. And I thought, I've done this before, Lord. It's, you know, it's been in slightly different context, but, you know, I've walked with you by faith before. I've had to trust you with these kind of things in the past, so I'm sure I can do it again. But it's funny just how easily it is for a regular income to become a comfort zone and a dependency. So it's a whole year on, and on paper it really seems impossible, but yet he has been so faithful. Yes, there's been sacrifice, of course, there's always sacrifice, but a lot of it, it's even been with him being firm with me as well, you know, insisting to always see through his eyes of abundance and to see the creative potential and never through lack. You see, the carnal and the heavenly perception of abundance are absolute opposite ends of the scale. So on this path of trusting him and being revealed, my heart is still yearning to be hidden and to be only revealed in him and by him. This could be why I struggle with the earthly view of how ministry has, you know, has sadly been marketed. There's been a model of celebrity name-driven conferences to bring in crowds, because according to the earthly system, bigger crowds bring in bigger funds. However, anything that we take into our own hands can be taken to excess and distorted from the original reason or blueprint. You know, perhaps God's shown us the conferences and larger meetings are great ways to facilitate the hunger and large numbers of people coming. But sometimes when we take hold of these things, they can still be distorted, and our intentions have changed from the original thing that God spoke to us about. So easily it is to feed into and even to create a conference culture where people are self-promoting and making names for themselves and then cheering others into it like it's some kind of reaching the top of the scale, or the, you know, it's a strange kind of tiered mentality. You know, so if we're fueled by the earth in an earthly man-fueled system, then of course that's going to pass away and it's temporal. These are just thoughts from my heart that I'm just kind of sharing with you today. But so I'm not condemning the conferences that we have. I know that they are there for a function, but it's often the reasons why some of the conferences can be marketed and can turn into more of a celebrity sideshow than equipping and training. You know, John the Baptist, he went into the desert and he ate locusts as he brought the famous prepare the way message. You know, that wasn't clever marketing. That was just proof that the Lord will promote and bring his voice through whichever vessel he chooses in whichever place, even in places of obscurity and barrenness. It's certainly not to be a sideshow. Paul didn't do this. You know, Paul and the apostles, they were known as the vegetable peelings of society. Even Jesus didn't do this. He spent so much of his time just trying to get away from the crowds that were pursuing him. He'd climb mountains, he'd get on boats, he'd go out into the wilderness, you know, he'd pray throughout the night in the mountains, just because that was when everybody else was asleep. That was when he knew he could have that time away with the Father. However, as he went from place to place, as he was journeying on the road, he still pursued the destitute, the rejected and despised, and when he shared openly, it was with the 12. Or, you know, the really deep and mystical stuff, he only shared with the three closest friends, his brother James and, you know, dear John and our mate Peter. Jesus still taught the multitudes some profound things, and he taught in the synagogues, but notice he often spoke in parables and then demonstrated to them the kingdom that he was revealing. that he was the living word. He was the Torah. He was the living manifestation of everything that they'd been studying. However, it was only with those closest to him that he shared the treasures of his heart, those that had left all to follow him. It was with them that he shared those mysteries with. So, with many of the Cabin Academy sessions where I've been sharing, and even with the mentoring workshops, I'm not pursuing these large crowds or big venues or multiple meetings. I'm going against the earthly culture of how it should look, and some of the things that he has me share are just not for the larger conference environments. They are meant to be shared in more intimate kind of training sessions and in relational time. I find that's when it's the most natural. And when it is most natural, and when we're able to invest in people relationally at a far deeper level, people's hearts are open and you see far greater fruit from it, and more transformation ultimately in and through people's lives. So if we're just looking to cover our costs and to fill conference venues, then we're driven by meeting, we're driven by covering our costs, we're driven by seeing ends meet, and we want to see our ends meet so that we have less worry. So if we're then attaining for less worry, that's kind of serving a different spirit as well, because Jesus said to cast all our cares upon him. Finances can put a strain on relationships and marriages and nations. And of course, we're learning how to disciple nations. So if our sanity is dependent on seeing ends meet, then it's anchored in lack. Generosity and abundance is who our Father is, and giving is his kingdom. So as we give, let's not give from an earthly mindset where it is when you give, then it means that you are left without. That's the earthly print, isn't it? But when we give out of the heavenly joy, we're seeing his limitlessness. So when we're giving out of the heavenly, as we give, goodness and mercy are chasing us like a couple of crazy people down the street. And they're multiplying his grace faster than you can even give. So as a heavenly living body, we can trade of ourselves into the heavenly. We do this with our lives. We do this with the expressions of our lives. Maybe this will be finances, but not always. Maybe this will be with our property, with personal property that God's entrusted us with. Maybe it will be with our time. Maybe it will be with encouragement. Maybe it will be with the gifts that he's placed in us. Maybe there's songs or books or messages. Who knows? It's our hearts that need to change, and it's the grip of our fleshy little hands on whatever we falsely perceive as ours and of being under our control. It's the self-made idols in our life named success. The Father's generosity is extreme. He is like an adrenaline junkie of generosity. He's methodically wild and fearless in how he has given and traded so much into us. It just doesn't even make sense to our earthly minds. He gave his only son. He gave us the nations. In fact, the whole of creation. He gave us power and authority and freedom, all of which we are powerful enough to abuse. It's crazy, but in his fearless generosity, he is totally secure. To give testimony of his goodness, in some of the smallest midweek meetings that I've shared at, there have been some of the largest offerings. Was it that the Lord multiplied it? Well, possibly, because he multiplies as we give. But perhaps the people in that meeting also saw by faith into the weight and reality of what they were sowing into. By this, I don't mean me. Come on, take your eyes off the earthly person here. Perhaps they were seeing into the tangible awareness, into the manifest presence that filled the place. What a journey in learning to see where the real treasure is and then trading into it. Did the boy that gave the loaves and fishes see all the masses and think, yes, I'd like to give to them? Probably not. But he saw Yeshua, he saw the eternal one that is glorious, and he gave all that he had. The boy had the risk of going hungry. You know, there was a chance that he might not have even got a mouthful of that lunch that he gave. Yet he still gave it in faith and no doubt went away fuller than if he had eaten all of it. The loaves and fishes, you know, you can see they're mystically symbolic of Jesus as the living bread, our very sustenance. The fishes carry lifeblood, you know, they're living creatures. They can represent the sacrificing of our own lives to see the souls brought into his kingdom, restoring them to their true identity and life in him. Brought out of one realm of being in the sea to being brought out up into the heavenly. I love how the laws of the spirit work. You know, they supersede the natural laws. The kingdom of heaven is like a man that found a treasure and hid it in a field and then for joy over it, sold all that he had to buy it. It says this in Matthew 13, that there's joy in the sacrifice. Joy and sacrifice. How sweet it is. Those two go hands in hand. So with joy, let's not allow ourselves to be enslaved to an earthly system. But with liberty, we can embark on this adventure with the Ecclesia, with the heavenly body, living out of heaven, ushering that reality into the earth. Trading with faith into the heavenly, the eternal, the incorruptible, rather than the temporal and the tainted. So, with all my heart, I want to thank and honour Papa for his absolute faithfulness and extreme invitations into the unknown, not just in my life, but in so many others that I've been journeying with. He's quite remarkable, and he's so daring, and he dares us into this journey. But also, I'd like to thank the partners of Cabin Academy and all of our faith-filled friends. Thank you so much. Thank you for being part of this journey and for your joyful support and for your sacrifice and for your sowing and your prayers. You really make this possible and you provide the loaves and the fishes to feed the masses. So together we feast in this eternal reward that's with him and we reap the treasures that we can hardly fathom. So may you be inscribed by his goodness. May you be set apart for his purposes and sealed for a truly wonderful year.
Give thanks. Give thanks. Give thanks. Flower folds up in the evening, just as the trees in the fall drop their leaves. I will fall on my face, I will drop to my knees and give thanks for the light of the day. I give thanks for the sun on my face, give thanks for the beautiful way. I deserve nothing, yet I have received grace. Give thanks.